Confessions of a Trainwreck. 30, flirty, and surviving.
It's easy to speak out of the way I live, but it's a 24-carat dream. No supermodel in my dirty jeans, but in my 24-inch heels.
Commandment number 139. Thou shalt remember that parenthood is the scariest hood you'll ever go through. When it comes to having kids, in true Libran style, I'm undecided. While the idea of watching Disney movies, snacking on rusks, and having a mini BFF does sound appealing to me, so does the idea of travelling the world, buying expensive handbags, and living in a top-floor loft apartment for the rest of my life. They say that raising kids is a walk in the park. Jurassic Park. And while there's no denying how much I do love that movie, I can't help but wonder if I'll ever get a clear-cut sign as to whether I should or shouldn't have them. As a woman of 31 who was reminded weekly by my mother that my biological clock is ticking, I also recently had a not-so-gentle reminder by my gynecologist that I should have kids in the next 12 to 18 months, or at the bare minimum, freeze my eggs as soon as possible. But why should I put my body through something I'm not entirely sure that I even want? So in true journalist style, I've called on two of my girlfriends, who each sit on different sides of the white picket fence, who can each pinpoint the moment they made their decisions in the hope that it will help me make mine. Also, full disclosure before we get started, this episode does contain conversations around fertility that may be triggering to some.
Cheers!
Cheers!
So this is special for a few reasons. The first one being I'm so used to seeing you every single day and I have not seen you in 2 weeks.
It's too long.
Two weeks, goodness. Too long. And I feel like no one talks about, and the people on this podcast are probably so sick of me talking about it because I have been whinging nonstop for the last 3 weeks about how hard a new job is. But I feel like losing your old work family is such a massive part of a new job that no one talks about.
I know, it's like a breakup.
Except that we live in the same suburb.
Yes, I know, but oh my gosh, it's sad. So lonely without you.
One more cheers. Also,
drink, drink, drink.
Verve. Great choice. And I know that you're a champagne gal. What is your preferred champagne of choice? Because I, personally, I don't like Moët. And your partner made a comment before about, like, Moët's the throw-out champagne. And you know what? I agree.
Yeah. Like,
we have two bottles of Moët at home, and I'm like, use them for Aperol Spritz or something. Like, just get rid of them.
Really? No, see, I'm a bit of a fan.
You like Moët?
Yeah.
I prefer Verve to Moët.
Well, see, like, I have been to Moët and Chandon, the actual...
In France.
Like, yes.
Oh, you bougie bitch.
So I think because I've been there and I understand, I guess, how it's made and walking through, you know, that the cellars and all of that type of stuff, I kind of appreciate the process. But
well,
I do love
I've been to Cerame, so.
But Verve, I'd have to say, is probably, like, out of both of them, it's probably my favourite.
And we spoke about Dom because you and I both have Dom saved in the house, which is what is your occasion that I drink it? Like, how
just
special
a Friday
is
night?
It is not. How special are we talking for a Dom? What year are your Doms?
To be honest, isn't that terrible? I don't even know what they are.
I wouldn't have known except that Damon gave me a bottle for my birthday last year and it's a 2010 one because he researched and apparently 2008 and 2009 are like average, but 2010 was like the good rare one.
The good vintage.
It was the good year.
Oh, I love that. No, I actually don't know what years they are, but it's funny because I don't know what, would it be a birthday or like a milestone?
Nah.
An engagement. There we go. Saving it for then. Honey, hurry up.
Waiting.
I'm thirsty.
My hand is empty. Also, so Damon doesn't like champagne, so like...
Oh. That's great.
It's not an incentive for him to propose, you know? Anyway, we have grossly digressed, so one more cheers.
More cheers.
Okay. Mm. Okay, my Brooke. The reason we are here today is to talk about a topic which is kind of, not kind of, it is an important topic, but it's something that I don't think a lot of people talk about out loud, and that is children.
Children.
Children. And the choice...
of having children or not having children. So as you know, being one of my close friends, you are well aware of the fact that I'm currently in the process of an endometriosis, PCOS, adenomyosis kind of journey. So I have been seeing a gynecologist, need to see a psychologist, but don't have time for that yet. Sorry, a gynecologist who recently slapped me with the hard reality that if I want to have children naturally, she would recommend me doing it in the next 12 to 18 months. And at the bare minimum, she would recommend me freezing my eggs. Now, that has brought something to my attention, which is something that has never kind of crossed my mind before in the way that it has now. And that is the decision about whether or not to have children.
And it's such a tough one because I think we go through, you know, our late teens and somewhat of our 20s doing everything we can not to fall pregnant. It's not the right time. We want to travel. We're studying. We've just landed the best job ever. And then all of a sudden you find yourself in your 30s and you're thinking, shit, like my doctor's giving me the kind of warning like, hey, you know, your time's ticking. You need to really like consider what it is that you want to do in your future. And you're sitting there as a 30-something-year-old woman or whatever age you are at the time going, what do I do? And there's a fork in the road. And what part of the fork
do I take? But also in that same vein, I think that that's incredibly accurate what you just said. But I think also in your late teens, early 20s, etc., you just kind of assume that you will have children at some point in your life because that's the norm.
Absolutely.
It's kind of just part of your subconscious life plan.
And I think too, that's the expectation. Like if you think about the conversations you have with, you know, your mom, your grandma, your aunties and all the women in your life, it's the dumb thing. It's the, okay, well, you're going to grow up, you're going to finish school, get the job or study, whatever it is that you decide to do. And you're going to meet someone, you're going to get married, you're going to settle down and you're going to have a family of children. That's kind of what we're
conditioned
yep. to thinking. That's kind of what our life is going to be like in the future.
But now, all of a sudden, and I think as well, not to get all woo and airy-fairy, but I'm a Libra, so I have an incredibly difficult time making decisions. And all of a sudden, I have now, not that I think it's like this super urgent decision, but I have now all of a sudden been put against a clock. And I don't like that.
Yeah,
and as a woman in your 30s, you are already well aware. Your mum tells you, society tells you, everyone tells you that your biological clock is ticking, right?
Absolutely.
Tick away. How do I know that I want children and how do I know that I don't want children? But you and I had a conversation, albeit it was a drunk conversation, a couple of weeks ago, where I've also, for as long as I've known you, kind of known what your decision is on children, but it was a bit of a process and journey for you to get there.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm kind of where you were a couple of years ago in that I know some friends who have decided that they don't want children, and I have a lot of friends who definitely know that they do want children. But I feel like I'm in this weird limbo land where I don't know either way.
You're at the fork in the road.
I'm at the fork in the road and I'm looking for a sign. I'm waiting for a sign, but I don't know if that sign's ever going to come. So I wanted to chat to you because I know that you were previously married in a different relationship and you had a very different kind of idea of what your future would be then. And then you can actually pinpoint the conversation that you had, which cemented to you the fact that you didn't want children. So I kind of just want to like chat to you about that.
Yeah, I think, well, absolutely. I think, you know, going back to that, like, you know, the original point about growing up and thinking that you need to, you know, have that conventional, you know, life where it's get married and then, you know, start having a family.
Because did you have a scary age? I literally, and I think I've said this multiple times before, but I literally thought by the time I was 27, I would be married with kids, not working full time, staying home to raise them, doing like maybe part-time work.
Yeah.
And now that I'm 31, turning 32 this year, I could not be further from that. But also, I'm not worried that I'm further from that. I'm very, 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 probably too content with the way my life is now.
that children are not something I could factor in to the stage of life that I'm at now. But also, things are different now. I think people are having children older. Anyway, I digress.
Yeah, it's like, it is one of those things. I think definitely that's what I thought. I know that my mum had me when she was, I think, 26 or 27 she had me. So that was quite late in those days.
And you're the oldest?
Yeah, I'm the eldest. So I've got a younger brother who also doesn't have children at the moment. But yeah, for me, I think it just, I thought that's what was going to happen. And then, you know, as you mentioned, my marriage broke down when I was 28 and yeah, child free at that point.
But when you were married, was that something that you had discussed, and was it something that you wanted or something that he wanted, or was it a mutual thing, or did you just kind of expect that?
Yeah, I just, I feel like it's one of those things where you think that it's going to happen because that's just what society kind of implies, and that's the plan for you. But I think in both our hearts, it wasn't kind of something that we were really wanting to pursue, if that makes sense.
Mm.
And I think we were very career driven, so there was just, it wasn't really kind of in the picture right for us,
yeah,
in the right time for us. But in saying that, you know, I've got a wonderful partner now and he'd be a great father. So it's not that...
it wasn't situational.
Yeah.
It was deeper than that.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess moving into like the whole idea of this little chat that we're having is, yeah, I'm child-free by choice and I will remain that way. I think, you know, I'm in my mid-30s now and I don't have that motherly... I don't know.
Instinct.
No, like, I just don't know where I've been waiting for it, I guess.
But also, I want to also debunk some common myth that I think there's a common misconception that women, career-driven women that don't want children, are cold, hard bitches. And that is not the case because I have seen you with children and you are phenomenal with children. You are a very warm person. You are so lovable. You are so much fun. Children love you. You love children. That's not the issue because I find the same thing happens to me. If I express, and I'm not saying I still haven't made my mind up either way, which is why I'm doing part one and part two of this episode. But if I even hint at the fact that maybe I won't have children, people are like, but Phoebe, why? You love Disney. My daughter loves you. Like, you're so much fun. This, and I'm not saying that I don't love children. And I think it's becoming even more obvious to me now that my close friends are having children. And I don't want to say this maliciously, but like by choice now, because you know how like some of your friends had kids that weren't planned when you were younger.
Yes. Yeah.
And you didn't have the same maybe connection to them that you do now, but now you're like you're their auntie. Like they're in your life for a reason and you love them so much, particularly like now that my friends Nicola and Carol, who are like two of my best friends, have had little Banksy, and everyone who follows me on Instagram is aware of Banksy.
Yeah.
I love her so much that it scares me. And it doesn't change the fact that I love children, but I don't know that I'm necessarily cut out to do that job.
It's a big job.
Mm.
Once you make that commitment, you can't just press stop. It's lifelong. So you need to, need to have that want, I guess.
Like, but in that same respect, I think as well, I know a lot of my friends who have children have always known definitively that they wanted children. Like one of my friends, Hannah, for example, she has always said to me, I was born to be a mother. And I think that's amazing and that's beautiful. And she is the most incredible mother to her children. But I've never had that, I was born to be a mother. I've never felt maternal. Yes, children like me and I like children, but mostly because I like Disney movies and I like kids food and I like having fun, but I don't know if I'd be a good mother.
And you know, the thing is, I don't think anyone who does decide to have a family, they know whether they're going to be a good mum or not. I guess, you know, like we've got some great friends of ours that are mothers and gosh, you know, they work in, you know, high profile jobs, they've got a family, they've got, you know, two kids, they're doing the drop off, the pickups. And I mean, I admire what they're capable of, because God, I just same. Think to myself, I don't know how I would be able to.
I can barely take care of myself. Me too.
Work in a full-time role the way that, you know, and put in the amount of hours that we both put in, and then to come home and bath time, food, you know, cook the dinners and put them to bed and get it all done tomorrow on the uniforms. I mean, hat goes off to them 100%, like, but I think for me, yeah, like you, I've never had that maternal kind of instinct or that feeling of like, oh my gosh, I'm just ready just to have a baby. And I say to you, like, I'm child-free by choice. In saying that, I don't know whether I can have children or not because I'm not trying. So I might face, you know, difficulty just like a lot of other women our age out there. We've got friends of ours that unfortunately have gone through so many rounds of IVF. Some had successful IVF treatments. Some are still battling through it.
And your heart and my heart breaks for them. Breaks.
And I, yeah, it's a real tough one. And as we said earlier, like, you try so hard not to fall pregnant.
It's
and then all of a
so
sudden,
ironic as a woman that you... I feel like there's a Sex and the City episode about this where they say it's so ironic that you spend the whole first half of your life actively doing everything you can not to fall pregnant. And then all of a sudden when you decide that you want to fall pregnant, it's tough. But I totally understand what you're saying because I am the same as you. And from the position I'm speaking in now, I don't know if I can have kids. And I don't know that my decision would change once I found out that I couldn't have children, for example.
Yeah, you're right. Because someone could say to you, hey, Phoebe, you actually can't have a family. I'm so sorry. And that might be the point where you're like, well, I really want one.
And that's what scares me about this. Again, another thing about a new job that's hard is I had this surgery, this endometriosis surgery booked. It was supposed to be next week. And then I put it off 3 times and things just keep popping up in this new job that I can't kind of get around at this point in time, but they could, for all I know, turn around to me and say, your insides are too damaged for you to have children. And I don't know how I would respond to that. You know?
Yeah. And it's until it happens.
You don't know.
You don't know.
But also you told me a couple of weeks ago when we were out, we'd had a couple of mugs, but you told me that there was like a definitive moment when you were out with your partner, Justin, and you met this really fabulous older couple who were child-free in their 60s. And that for you was like the kind of definitive moment when you were like, I don't think I want to have children.
I feel like I was stuck in a fork for a very long time.
How long?
I was, gosh, you know, I feel like probably it'd be a good few years or even more, probably 4. I feel like it was that point where it's like, okay, Brooke, you really need to start considering what you want to do. You've either got the option to freeze your eggs, which is something that I had actually considered, or it was time to, I guess, try for that baby that everyone, I guess, wants you to have, whether it's your family or whether it's your friends. And I was stuck in this fork and I was sick of thinking about it, if I'm honest. I was tired of it.
Well, it's all consuming. It was. Like all of a sudden it's something that hasn't crossed your mind and then it's all you can think about.
Yeah, it's all you can think about. And then, you know, I've got a great relationship with my GP and I see her regularly and she was kind of, hey, Brooke, you know, these are the options, you know, and I'm very open to it. And we've talked about this before. I've got a marina. So, and, you know, I've had challenges with my period. So hence the reason why I've got that. And we were at the point where it was the 5-year mark and I needed to have it removed. And, I guess
the conversation started.
Yeah. It was like, oh, you know, you're going to have it out. Are we going to put it back in again? Or are you going to keep it out and try? And I said, no, I'm ready to go again for another 5 years. Like there's the option to remove it, of course, if anything does change. But I was actually out having, a couple of vinos and a bit of dinner, it was quite an amazing time that this had happened. I felt like it was just a sign from the universe.
That's why as I feel corny like sometimes. No, it's not because I'm not, as I said before, I'm not woo-woo or airy-fairy, but I feel like sometimes you just have to trust in the timing of conversations and how things work out. And I think sometimes things are brought to you at the right time for a reason.
Exactly. And I think too, you do think, oh my gosh, FOMO, like, you know, that fear of missing out. And if I don't have this child, will I miss out on X, Y, Z?
Mm-hmm.
So we're out having a couple of drinks and a meal and we met this couple and we started talking. They're in their 60s and we just, you know, started talking about whether they had children, and, you know, they were asking the same question of us. And as I was having a chat to Chrissy, which is now, yeah, I'm actually like in contact with her still. And she was like, you know, we're in our 60s and we're child free. And that was our decision. And we've got beautiful relationships with our nieces and nephews. And we've got kids in our life that want to be in our life, and we want them in ours. And we haven't missed out. We don't feel that we miss out. We still live a beautiful lifestyle. We live in an apartment, which we've lived in for the last 20 years. We go on plenty of holidays. We're both very career driven. We enjoy each other's company. We love wining and dining. We're very, very happy. We don't feel like we've missed out on anything at all.
And in that moment, was it like almost like a weight was lifted for you?
Yeah,
like
kind of.
You were like, it's okay if I don't want to have children.
Yeah. And I did say that. I asked her, I said, when was the moment where you were just like, oh, I just don't think that this is for me? And she had said, well, it's quite funny because I sat in that fork for so long. And she was like, you know, I needed to make that decision because I was sick of it consuming me. And I was like, oh my gosh, I feel like she's in my head, because these are the types of things that we had, you know, I had talked about or I had thought about. So after that conversation, I ended up having a pregnancy cover in my private health insurance. And
which is so expensive, can I just say.
It is so expensive. I think I was speaking to you about this earlier, and I said, you know, I had Bupa, and I was trying to change my policy. And they were like, because you've had this on for over a decade, you know, you've spent basically an additional $10,000 than you needed to over the
period of time. Because I didn't even realize that if you want to have a baby, then you need to start paying that additional pregnancy cover 12 months before you fall pregnant.
Yeah, you do. So I think I just kept it on
just in case,
you know, like I just didn't want to be caught off guard and not have it. Not that I'm saying that it's not okay to have a baby in a public hospital. I think if anything, to be honest, that's probably the best option. But yeah, so I ended up in that week after speaking to Chrissy, I ended up taking that off, and I made the decision, and I feel great. I feel like a weight's lifted off my shoulders, and I don't feel
like you're missing out on anything.
And I think too, my partner and I, we're very close. We have a great life. We do love the finer things in life. We love living in an apartment. We enjoy drinking Verve on a Wednesday night. I'm, you know, very career driven. So is he. We've got five nephews in our lives. We are incredibly happy. Like there's kids around, my friends, you know, our friends have children, and I love them to bits, and I, you know, I'm super grateful for having them in my life, but I just don't feel the urge to push a pram, to have a baby, to do that whole baby thing.
I get that. And I think that also a big part of it as well is it took me a very long time to find my partner, and I see what happens, and I know it's not permanent and it's not a bad thing, but relationships change when there is a child involved. Yes. I know that it's not forever. I'm so cautious of offending anybody right now, but this is just how I personally feel.
Yeah.
Is that I'm not willing to sacrifice the happiness in my relationship that I have spent 31 years trying to find. Actually, 29 if I count when I met him. But I'm the same as you. I love our life. And because we met at a time that happened just pre-COVID, we haven't traveled. We haven't done anything crazy like move overseas on a whim. And to me right now, the idea of moving to the UK for a while just because sounds very, very appealing to me. And I feel far more drawn to that than staying put for a family. But that's me saying that right now. I don't know that that's not going to change in the future. And that's why I'm consulting multiple parties right now, because I'm at the fork.
Yeah.
And the fork is killing me right now.
It is. And I think anyone that's listening to, you might know, yes, I'm ready. Then absolutely, like, go girl.
100%.
You do it.
I'm jealous. If you know definitively either way, I'm jealous of you right now, because I think I'm just struggling because I'm in this weird limbo unknown.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure what the right thing to do is.
And it actually, like I said to you, it's so hard. sitting in that limbo, thinking about it constantly for a few years. It's time consuming. It's just, you lose sleep. You're constantly thinking about it. And it's a really difficult decision because, you know, you might have your mum and your grandma and your aunties and your friends and everyone in your ear saying, come on, you've got to do it. But remember, I guess your happiness
is worth more.
It's worth more.
That's a valid point that you say that, because also now that I have a long-term partner and B, a partner that my mum loves,
yeah,
that changes the narrative that you have with your mother, because now I sent her a photo. I think I literally put it on my Instagram story the other day of me and Damon kissing, wearing face masks at a bar. And she was like, isn't that beautiful? That is a photo that you can show your children and tell them that you survived a pandemic together.
Oh, thanks,
and I was
Mom.
Like, oh my God. And she is so on the grandchildren bandwagon.
Yeah.
And again, that plays into it because I don't want to deny her of the grandchildren that she so desperately wants. But also, I have a sister.
Yeah, I was going to say, hey, sis,
she's engaged. she knows that she definitely wants kids. So regardless, there will be grandchildren. It's just, I don't know. That also plays into it. And then also, interesting, from your partner's perspective, because obviously Damon and I have talked about it, and we are both kind of at a fork almost, but like content with our life as it stands right now for the circumstances we're in right now. But like if he desperately wanted a baby, that might change or alter the way I feel. So did Justin, did you find that your partner ever had some kind of like compelling need to have a child, or were you always on the same path?
I think we've always been on the same path. Like we've absolutely, I think early on in the piece we were both like, yeah, that's what we want to do. We want to have a baby. Like eventually, I mean, not immediately, like, you know, that we see that as our long-term future.
It's just
future.
Like a given.
Cause you know, when you do start a relationship with someone, you say, hey, look, is that something that you see happening for you? Would you like to be a father? I guess that's it. You know, as we get older, that's something that we want to make sure.
shout out to those gals who found their partners a little bit older in life.
Yeah, that's it. And, you know, there's a 9-year age difference between us.
The difference is though, they don't have the same biological clock that we have. Correct. So their swimmers are good to go for a lot longer.
That's it. But yeah, there was no, he was very supportive either way. And I think we've both agreed on where we stand with it now. So it's not, we're not denying each other of parenthood.
No.
So we're very like aligned with our way of thinking, but I guess like, we don't have the parental pressure either. So my mother-in-law, well, future mother-in-law, is amazing. And there's no pressure from her whatsoever. And then unfortunately, my mother passed away when I was young. So, you know, my mum's not here to pressure me into it either. Mm-hmm. But in saying that, my grandma, who I'm very close with, is super supportive. And she's like totally okay with it. She's in her 80s and she's like, all the power to you, Brooke. I'm proud of you.
Mm.
She had only one child, which was my mum. So she, you know, is perfectly fine either way.
Yeah.
Whatever I want to do, whatever makes me happy, she's like,
down for.
Yeah. You go, girl. Very, very modern way of thinking.
I love that.
My grandma in her 80s.
Love that. And in the same way, though, I've said to my mum before, I don't know if I want children, but I don't know that I don't want them. So she knows that I'm at this weird fork crossroads thing. Mm. And she would be fine either way. Like, she supports whatever I do. Fuck. She supported me starting a podcast called Trainwreck. Like, she is a chill woman. And also at the same time, Damon has also said to me on multiple occasions, if I, for some reason, turned around tomorrow and said, I want a baby, he'd be fine with it. Like, it's just, I think at the end of the day, communication in your relationship is key to this discussion.
Oh,
I think that's what it comes down to. You might not get a sign. You might get a sign. But you and your partner need to maintain that line of communication, because I feel like also the worst thing that could happen right now would be for one of us to be hell-bent on having a child or vice versa and the other one having a completely contradictory opinion. I feel like that would be so soul-destroying.
Oh, it would be. You couldn't imagine how horrible that would be. Imagine, you know, your partner wanting to have a child so bad. and you going along and saying, no, I don't want to have a child. That's why I think the conversation's important that you bring it up. It's like any conversation in a relationship, you know, your finances, what you like to do on a weekend, what your favorite color is. I know it sounds super trivial, but it's a conversation must have.
And that's why I feel like I would really like for society to normalize the conversation of not wanting to have children just as much as they normalize having children in a family. Because like I said at the start, just because you decide that you don't want children, does it make you a bitch? And I think that is a very common misconception that a lot of women are faced with. And also, you can't ask a woman that in 2021. Infertility is rife. Fertility issues are just insanely through the roof. And I just think that you can't ask someone that outright. But there is no right or wrong answer to this question. I simply wanted to start a conversation and start a thought. That is all.
I love it. And I think as women, we need to have, like, it's bring it up at your next, you know, marg night, like you and I did.
100%.
Or when you're having, you know, book the next meal or whatever, whatever it is. Yeah. Like, have the conversation, because you're more than likely it's something that you're probably internalizing. And all of your little, like, all of your girlfriends are probably thinking exactly the same thing. And what do they do? Because, yeah, it is really tough. Because you don't, you know, we live in that world where we don't want to miss out on anything. And we miss out if we don't have kids, or we miss out if we do.
That's the one thing. I think at the moment for me, my biggest fear is I don't want to wake up at 60 and regret not having a child.
Yeah. But one thing you can't be sure of is if you wake up at 60 and you might have a child, and what happens if that child doesn't like you. I mean, it's not like the movies. Unfortunately, you know, you see the way that families are in this day and age. Like, there is a number of broken families and siblings that don't get along and all of these types of things. So just because you saw a really awesome family in a movie, it doesn't mean that's going to be reality.
Look what was happening behind the scenes of the Brady Bunch.
Oh, I know.
It was wrought.
I know.
The mum was sleeping with the son. This was that. It was all over the shop. Yeah, you're not like, going that to was get... like the OG expectations versus reality.
Yeah. But what you see on Instagram, what you see in a movie, what you see on stage isn't going to be reality. That's, you know, you just got to consider all
options.
All options.
Well, I think that brings it to a really nice close. And I think that, do we want to leave it with advice I think we should because you can go first. You go first.
No, I was just, I guess like with advice, it's probably one of those things. It's like, just be open to all options, but do what makes you happy is ultimately the key point. Not what mom, grandma and aunties want you to do or what society tells you to do.
No.
Listen to your heart. You know, have a chat to your partner, you know, look into the future and decide if that's what you want, because being a fur mum is pretty cool, Phoebe.
That is very cool.
And I love being a fur mum.
You have a baby sausage dog too. And I'm just going to roll off the back of that and say my only piece of advice as someone who is completely impartial to the whole decision is don't compare yourself to someone else's life and just maintain open and honest communication. Oh. Cheers, doll.
Cheers,
doll. Verve, down the hatch.
A Podshape production.